Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And for those of you that are joining us for the first time, I'll give you just a little bit of background here on what we try to accomplish each week. We generally go over some of the most recent commercial real estate news, maybe discuss some trends, discuss any recent Fed Reserve actions in terms of increasing or hopefully soon decreasing interest rates or Fed funds rates. And then we talk about real estate private partnership syndications. We typically try to review a couple and kind of give you some insights into how we analyze them. And we won't necessarily tell you, or will likely not tell you, the specific investment, although assorted of my clients will know because they're looking at them collaterally. But in any event, the syndication asset class is a very in vogue, I guess you might say, asset class now for more than a few years, in fact, quite a few years. And that's all part and parcel because of the performance of those assets. And we're talking about apartments for those of you that might not know some of the terminology. Multifamily, or MFR, refers to multifamily. And that's what we think the low-hanging fruit is. That said, they're complicated animals to review and understand what you're signing up for, and that's what we do with our clients. We work with our clients to help them understand exactly that. What are you signing up for, and how does that line up with your objectives? Because syndications are not syndications, meaning they're not the same. In fact, they're typically always different, even if it's the same syndicator, sponsor, lead partner, etc., you may have invested many times with. And then, of course, each syndicator has their own style in most cases in terms of the way they craft the legal documents. And so you need to understand what those terms mean and the timing, the lack of control typically that you have. And we are this week, time permitting, I believe we'll have time, I'm going to discuss one of the national syndicators, one of the biggest there is. And, you know, I'll read you some of the verbiage in his private placement memorandum, and you'll be, I think, you may think I'm reading something from the old New York Yankees owner or general partner, George Steinbrenner. And for those of you that are old enough to remember George, he was the one that assorted limited partners were quoted over the years as saying the true definition of a limited, emphasis on limited, partner is to be a limited partner in the New York Yankees baseball club. And I don't think there were too many people that really quibbled with the way that Steinbrenner performed. But let's just say, just like this syndicator we're going to discuss, he cannot be removed, but he can voluntarily leave or give it up. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is somebody that you're thinking about marrying. I mean, that's really how you ought to think of a partnership when you take on a partner. It's like being married. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe you would enjoy a marriage where you have no say-so. My wife wouldn't. And I might in her case, but in any event. Well, listen, before we start talking about some of the news, I did want to mention that just because you're tuned in today or because you go to one of our two websites related to this content, the first one is beaplanner.com. That's B-E-A-P-L-A-N-N-E-R. And then we have a companion site that adds the word show after that. So it's baplannershow.com. And that's actually where we put the news articles for the week, so that if you don't have time to, or you're not able to pull them up while we're talking about them, no worries. They'll be out there for, probably forever. In any event, I think it's helpful to just listen when you're tuned in or when you go back and play today's episode or other episodes from the podcast archive, in addition to maybe, 19 or 20 podcast platforms that we're on, including iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify. We have a page on our BA Planner site. You can also get to it with a link on the BA Planner Show site. And I think just the first time through, whether it's sitting down listening to the sound of my voice or whether it's when you play it for the first time, just listen and try to soak it up. You may get really interested in a certain article. There are definitely some good ones this week. There's some trends that are notable in terms of the multifamily asset space. It's gotten so much bad publicity as of late, and it appears things are progressing back to stabilization. And in fact, Freddie Mac, one of the big loan agencies, had a study come out this week. I think they do it twice a year, but in any event, we've got an article where the key indicators show that the multifamily sector is gradually reverting to pre-pandemic norms. So that's a good sign. And then I've also got pulled an article in the 10 most affordable U.S. markets in the multifamily rental space. And then another article about insurance. Apparently my excitement last week may have been a false alarm. Maybe I got a lowball quote on my small apartment building, as I mentioned. But apparently the rates, the premiums are expected to double in the current year for most of these larger properties. The properties that we consult about are typically minimum of a couple hundred units and may go up to, 600, 700. I know I myself invested in one property that was nearly 700 units, 693 units. That's a big property. And that one was in Houston, which is where our show is based, even though we also play it on more than a few other markets around the country. But in any event, and then another article that you want to keep an eye on is the concession rates are rising in some of the major metro markets, and that's just a clever way of reducing your rents or reducing the rate of rental growth, which we actually are still seeing positive rental growth. It's just not as much as we once saw. But in any event, to go back to what I got sidetracked from, if you hear something you like or think you like, think it might apply to your facts and circumstances, whether it's something we mentioned on the tax front or something on the private partnership front, don't just take our word for it. Don't just take the information on our website's word for it. Talk to your existing advisors, people that presumably have some inkling of your current facts and circumstances. And if you don't have someone that understands your current facts and circumstances, as well as this asset class, how to analyze these creatures, feel free to go to the BA Planner website, either one of them, Be a Planner or Be a Planner Show. com, and you can find a link at the top in both cases to complete our intake forms. And if you'll do that, I'll be happy to spend some time with you on the phone or my associate, Dan Dubose. And Dan, if you're listening today, I hope you're getting better, feeling better. He discovered he had COVID here this past week. So much for immunity if you've had it before, or I guess this is probably a different variant. And there's no way it's the flu because nobody's been diagnosed with the flu in the last 3 years. Wink, wink. And so we have to take the word of the, I guess, the two pink stripes on those tests that's what he has. In any event, Dan, we hope you get better. And if you see something, I am struggling to locate a stat or a percentage, et cetera, feel free to text it to me. And as far as that goes, any of you listeners are also free to text me at 713-581-0195. And I'll try to, if it's something relevant to today's content, I'll work it in real time. If it's not, I'll circle back to you over the next week, and it may be something we'll discuss next week on the air if it's significant. That said, the other thing you can do is on the websites, there's links to scheduling a call. And if you'll fill out the forms we have first, that'll allow me to discuss in more detail answers to whatever your questions might be. I see that we are at the first break. Let's go to the first break, then we'll come back and go into some of the news articles. So sit tight. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A, acquisition to E, exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
The song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to mention a couple things before we get into the articles that I've got a new focus that I'm working on, both as an investor and here very soon on the show, which is going to be working with small apartments. And the syndication that we're going to discuss later in the show will be a great illustration of why we like small apartment buildings. And we're talking typically between 8 and 30 units, kind of what I own now. I've got an 8 unit in San Antonio down in Southtown, about 4 blocks from the Alamo Dome and 5 blocks or so, maybe less, to the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center, which is like George R. Brown in Houston. And I'll apologize to my Phoenix listeners. I don't know the equivalent in Phoenix, but I know there is one. And same with Dallas and well, San Antonio, I just mentioned, that's the Henry B. But what's the city I'm leaving off? Oh, Seattle. I don't know what it is in Seattle either. But in any event, and then I've got 26 condo units all in the same complex. And so that size is what I'm looking for in assorted metros. So if you know some, if you own a property like that, or if you know someone that does and you think, you know, you may have heard them in the past, or I don't know, ask them, get an update. Are you looking to sell? Are you tired? Do you have too much deferred maintenance that you just don't see your way clear to getting the money lined up to undertake that? Are your rents below market, but you're really powerless, or you feel powerless to do anything? Don't worry. You know, we know how to do that. And have them connect with me, 713-581-0195. We'd like to know about it. The second thing I'm going to mention, any of you that might be educators in the high school arena, I have a son that's 14 years old that's looking to come to the motherland. That would be the U.S. We're here in Bangkok, in Thailand. And if you know of any high school scenarios that you think would be good for an international student, he doesn't speak English quite like you and I, but he speaks it enough. You know, I would like to find a good situation where he won't just be thrown to the wolves when we send him over, or when he decides to go over, which he's actively looking at now, and he's got a couple friends. So it could be as much as a trifecta. And these are good kids, and yeah, they're probably into hip-hop a little bit too much, which I think anybody that's got 14-year-olds will understand that, much to his dad's chagrin. I don't really consider that genre mainly rap as music. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the topic at hand. So the first article, and this article is incredibly complicated, so I'm not looking to tear into it and explain it, but I'm going to suggest to you this is one to keep around. In fact, I'll probably highlight it and just keep it sorted towards the top. But there's a, well, let's see, I said the wrong one, but it does, it's got similar content. U.S. multifamily market progresses towards stabilization. This is a very, it's like three paragraph article that CBRE did, Coldwell Banker Real Estate, I believe, or Rodney Ellis. I forget if they've changed their name or not. Seems like I hear it referred to both ways, and they're big here in Bangkok as well. They're big everywhere. It is the big firm in the commercial real estate space. But in any event, rents increased 2.6 year over year, which is in line with the pre-pandemic five-year average. Had a rebound in absorption and a modest pickup or uptick in vacancy. which I believe means the lack of vacancy. In fact, it would have to, because for there to be an increase in absorption, that would mean more of the units are being lived in. But if we go back, let me get back to the, I believe it's the second article. Let's see. Yeah, Freddie Mac Outlook. Key indicators show that the multifamily rental sector is gradually reverting. But this is a lot more meat and potatoes, and these are the kind of articles that make your head hurt, especially if you're aged as I am. I know 63 is not old before I start getting a bunch of text. But when you look at the graphs, anytime a graph has more than an X and a Y, makes my head hurt. Okay. I'm not saying I can't understand them, but I can't just do a drive-by. I've really got to dig in. And in any event, the first graph that they include, combines employment growth. Let me scroll back up here. Vacancy rate, gross income growth, historic, and forecast. All on one graph. It's a beautiful, beautiful image, okay? And I have not yet torn it apart. I just know that it's positive. There's not a whole lot below the line, in other words, below zero or negative. And so in any event, not in the recent past, I guess COVID had, let's see, the green line is gross income. So collectively, and of course, I'm going to caution you, these are averages. And what do we say about averages? None of us are average. We're all normal, okay? So, and maybe that's the same thing to some people, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Your normal is what matters. It's not what the average of everybody in the country is. In any event, there's a second graph that shows multifamily permit starts and completions on basically small apartments on up, five plus units. And then there's a section on how the deal makers, the folks that our clients are investing with, are dealing with prices, compression of rates, et cetera, assorted rates, cap rate spread, and the treasury rate, which, of course, the treasury rate represents several things. First of all, it represents competition when they get up as high as they are right now, and it's unlikely they're going to go down anytime fast with what the Fed plans on doing in terms of raising the Fed funds rate and making the spread between the 10-year and cap rates tighter and tighter. But in any event, I've got a lot of clients that say, well, gee, why wouldn't I just invest in the 10-year treasury if the cash-on-cash returns that I'm going to get in the near term on these projects are about the same? And I guess my response is, well, I'm not saying that an apartment building is as secure, quote-unquote, as a T-bill, but it also has some upside down the road. You know, we can't read the future, but a lot of forecasters are starting to say that, you know, we're going to return to normal over the next 2 to 3 years. And so you've not only got the cash-on-cash returns that are coming out on a pattern or frequency, you've got the upside that comes with refinancing or selling. And admittedly, you're not going to see too many deals that will return the old 80% chunk that we used to kind of expect on these value-add projects. And forgive me for speaking code for those that are just starting to tune into this space, getting interested in it. We basically have two types of projects. And then, of course, you've got some that are hybrids. A value-add is a property that's got upside. the rates are below market, the rental rates. It's usually in a state of significant deferred maintenance. It's out of date appliances. It's out of date flooring. It has no bark park, maybe no media room, no covered parking or reserve parking. These are things, no smart home package. These are all things that savvy syndicators know how to come in and add those amenities, and it's incremental revenue that drives up the rental rates, which also typically drives up the net operating income, which means the property is more valuable at a assorted cap rate that an investor or a bank might mandate for them to either refinance a property, buy a property, etc. So the name of the game, and you'll see this, in fact, I'll read you the language in the PPM that we're going to look at here shortly, and you'll see that's what that center focuses on. It's no secret, despite the fact that they try to make it sound like they're the only people in the world that know how to work that model. That's not the case. I've got a bunch of clients that are invested in those properties, and it's not to say that nobody wants a yield play, or what we would say, we're going to buy a property to hold it for its appreciation. Yeah, that's one strategy, and you, if you're going to be investing in 10 properties, you'll want several that are yield plays, more like a treasury bill type thing, because they are 90%+ occupied when you buy them. Somebody else has already undertaken the deferred maintenance, and so the properties are kicking off significant cash flow or enough cash flow to get your attention. And then, of course, there's still appreciation. Why? Because most real estate is on an upward progression, it seems. And, you know, I can attest to that personally with deals that I've invested in. And, yeah, there's just something about real estate that the passage of time with inflation, especially what we've seen lately, generates higher prices. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's any more valuable, but that tends to happen because of the scarcity of real estate, and especially as of late, where just now we're starting to see new construction and new units projected to come to market. But anyway, when you get a chance, dig in on the three charts that are on this Freddie Mac Outlook. This is part of their mid-year 2023 multifamily outlook. And I think for those of you that may be sitting on the fence in terms of getting started, this may give you the impetus to move forward. And it'd be interesting to see how this compares to the stock market. And I know that there's a Fed Reserve study from more than a few years ago. I think it was back in 2016, 2017, that looked at, I can't remember how many years. It was a lot of years going back. And real estate or housing was a bright spot in comparing assorted asset classes. It more than held its own. And in fact, I think in most categories, it was the clear winner. So I would encourage you to go Google that article. It's not hard to find. And take a look for yourself. Let's see, 10 most affordable U.S. markets and multifamily. Let me look real quick. I read this article in a hurry and I forgot, but I'm pretty sure San Antonio. Yes, San Antonio is on it. Occupancy fell in all of these 10 metros, but you're still talking significant occupancy, 90%+. In most cases, and the absorption rate was net positive in all but three of these metros, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Albuquerque. St. Louis posted the best absorption rate, up 1.6% this past December. In any event, the only class that's not all that exciting is the affordability, or those that have an affordability factor. Those are not as readily available as I think most would like to have a healthy market. Let's see, what else do we have? An example of how seller financing helped get a deal in Phoenix done, and then an article about concessions. The concessions are definitely rising, and again, that, I mean, if you look at the loss to lease line on the financials that the syndicators put out, it does in fact affect the bottom line. Now, it doesn't affect cash flow necessarily. I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but if you're buying a property that you've already got concessions in place, well, then I guess it's a question, is the glass half empty or half full? But there's no question concessions cost you money off of your pro forma. So in any event, there's some interesting details in that article. It's not a very long read. I see that we're right here on the second break. Let's go ahead and take that break, and then we'll come back and talk about a current syndication at a very high level. This is not one that I think many folks will be interested in trying to invest in, but or at least after I get through explaining some of the cost of doing so. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we're now going to pivot and turn to the private placement that Cardone Equity Fund 22 LLC is offering. And for those of you that don't know, I don't know how you could miss him. He's very prevalent. As many YouTube videos where he dispenses investment advice and life advice, and you know, he's most recently famous for saying that if you're not making at least $400,000 a year, you're a loser, basically, just so you know where he starts. And, you know, this is a guy that has been successful in life, and he's been syndicating apartment deals since the mid-90s. And, you know, I would suggest to you that when you are able to get away with the fees that somebody like this charges, it helps with your own personal success, not your investors' success. And I don't know. I've got a couple clients that are invested with Cardone Capital, and I don't see anything that even remotely sustains the type of the ticket to getting into the game with Cardone Capital. But you know, when you're buying as a syndicator, when you're buying Gulfstream G650s, $42 million homes in California, somewhere on the coast, I've forgotten where. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying, hey, if you got the money, do it. But I don't know how guys that have this many units, I mean, they're over 9,000 some odd units, I believe, in total syndications. There's a lot of balls in the air, and I'm not sure exactly what level of comfort you got to have to stroke a check, you know, for $60 to $70 million for a aeroplane like the G650. But you know, Cardone has done it, I think, twice now, and yet there's something just a little bit. I think I'm going to sum this up this way. I'll try to be complimentary. He must surround himself with smart people. That's all I can say, because I don't see anything that would give me an inkling that it's coming from within. And he posts a lot on LinkedIn. They don't seem to be original quotes. I think he's got one of those books that you've no doubt seen, you know, 1,000 famous sayings that, you know, he's rotating through. But that's okay. He's somewhat motivational if you just don't get too excited. And my best Cardone story personally is that I inadvertently replied all on an email that one of my clients sent me, which went back to one of his investor relations staff, which I'd indicated Cardone charges the highest fees in the world and is to be avoided. And I realized that after I'd clicked send and I'd eclipsed the 30-second undo that Gmail gives you. So I sent an apologetic toned follow-up just saying, hey, we thought we were alone when I made that comment, and happy to discuss it with Grant if it ever bothers him, if he ever even sees it, which he won't. But in any event, it's still true. I mean, I have a unique perspective in that I see what a lot of syndicators charge, and I can tell you right now, nobody's higher. And yet this deal that we're looking at today is not one that I'm going to say falls into the most egregious category. But let me tell you, this is a fund. It's actually, I believe it's being operated as a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust, or I think it is. I'm not sure why it doesn't, looking at it on further. Let's see, the fund will be the 19th investment fund offered by the sponsor, invested in multifamily properties representing an aggregate of 9,333 units across 25 properties. And he has done transactions in the Houston market and a lot of other places. I think it's, let's see, where does it say? It's multiple cities and 9 states, including Houston, San Diego, L.A., Tucson, Austin, Charlotte, Nashville, Savannah, and several metropolitan areas. I'm not sure what those are. Throughout Florida. Just specifically on Florida. In any event, he goes on to say that they've got an acquisition arm, and this is where things start to get murky. There's affiliates that can and do buy and sell from the funds, and they claim they do it at arm's length. They get valuations. I'd be real curious as to how those valuations occur, because you have no rights at all, any say-so, in that process. All that's in his sole discretion. And Cardone is a slick character. He knows how to avoid certain terms. Like, for instance, one thing you've heard me speak negatively about on the air is the concept of a side letter that starts showing up a year and a half ago, where it gave the syndicator the right to enter into a relationship with a third party on different terms than what you may have invested on. And you've got no rights to, no anti-dilution provision where you can invest on the same terms as that party. It's totally at the syndicator's discretion that he can enter into those deals. So Cardone avoids the use of a side letter terminology and calls it co-investing, that the fund can co-invest with third parties at his sole discretion on whatever terms he and they might agree to, and you've got no say-so in the matter. Doesn't matter if you're diluted or not. And I refuse personally or to recommend to a client that you invest under those terms. I mean, these syndications put the handcuffs on you enough already, and in some cases, rightfully so. We want as few chefs in the kitchen as we can have, and when things go cattywampus, if you will, which happens occasionally, like now with financing and refinance issues, you don't want to have delays because you've got to go get 140 partners to give you a vote. It's like herding cats, and I would tell you that there is a significant level of trust involved in investing with any syndicator, any third party. In most cases, they're not your next door neighbors or your friend or your uncle. They're not people, in other words, they're not people you know and may trust. And so there is an element of trust there that you're pretty much checking the box on based on other factors. Either you've looked at a credit report, although I don't know if a guy like Grant Cardone is going to offer his credit report. A lot of the syndicators that we work with our clients on will do that. I think that's a good sign, and they will disclose any problems they may have had with the law. I remember I looked at one that the lead partner had a youthful indiscretion that was a felony, and he put that right in the private placement memorandum and invited anybody that cared to get more information. I don't even remember what it was. But in any event, that's the kind of transparency that you want when you're investing with people. You're giving them, I don't know, I think Cardone has a very low threshold. Aside from this transaction does require that you be accredited. So this is for people that have $1 million or more in net worth, not counting your residence, or are earning $200,000 a year personally, or you combine with your spouse's income to get to $300,000 for at least 3 years, I believe it is, and with the anticipation that it'll continue. But here's things that bother me in this private placement memorandum. And you know, I would surmise that if anybody listening to this that's not already a client were to start reading this private placement memorandum, you wouldn't necessarily hear the fingernails on a chalkboard for these issues that I'm getting ready to call out. But here's the first one. They talk about finding undervalued assets, multifamily, generally located in central business districts or secondary metropolitan cities. The fund will primarily invest in multifamily properties located across the Sun Belt. And then in the next sentence, they say Cardone Capital focuses on individual properties with gross values of at least $50 million. Okay, that's 200 units or higher, $250,000 a door. That's pretty normal these days, unless it's an older property. And then they go on to say the fund may also invest in senior living, mobile home parks, self-storage, mixed-use, office, and or retail properties located throughout the U.S. Well, personally, I'm only investing in an entity that the property is already known. I'm not going to put my money into something where I don't know if it's going to end up in a multifamily asset or a mobile home park or a office property. How would you feel if you had done this a year ago and you ended up in an office building that's now 20 to 30% occupied? A big difference between that and what most apartments are currently that you bought a year ago. You know, most apartments still have pretty healthy occupancy. So that's the first fingernails on the chalkboard right there. It said the fund may also focus on distressed properties, including but not limited to REO foreclosures, that's real estate owned foreclosures by banks, off market, pulled from market, concession sensitivity, price reduction, and post-COVID-19 properties. All that's fine and dandy. The circumstances in each of those situations dictate whether the distress at play is something that we eat for breakfast or if it's something we want to avoid like the plague, okay? A distress situation where maybe an elderly couple passed away and the younger heirs don't care to operate the property, that's one thing. If the property is in the process of eminent domain, as I know of one of our syndicators in Houston is dealing with on a property that's got several of my clients in it, that's quite another. And there's an unknown at this point as to exactly how much is going to be affected of that property. So you really got to do your due diligence. And yes, distress creates opportunities. There's no doubt. Both of those scenarios, distress situations or distress properties, provide opportunities. Let's go on to the couple other fingernails on the chalkboard type things. Talk about fees. Let's get on down here. Here we go. Well, first before we do that, distributions. Let's talk about distributions. And there's assorted types of distributions. Those of you that have listened to the show before know that we have operating distributions. And surprisingly for a Cardone deal, this is relatively mundane. Of course, it should be after all the other fees, which we'll talk about here momentarily, are taken out. But it's an 80-20 split on the operating proceeds. So Cardone Capital is right in there on the first dollar. The 20% portion's going to the manager, and they didn't put any money up for that. And that's on top of any of the other fees they're going to get paid, and it's on top of any of the other affiliates that are invested. But on capital transactions and refinancing, the members get 100% of those, the first 100% to the extent they're getting their unreturned capital contributions back. And then once that's reduced to zero, then it's an 80-20 split. So it's not out of the norm there. But let's talk real quick about the fees, because I've got less than a minute here. There is an asset management fee, property management fee. Those are pretty standard, actually a little bit below standard, a 1% fee in both cases. And then there's a financing coordination fee of 1%, both on the original loan and on any refinances. There's an acquisition fee and disposition fee of 1% each. So you're at least 3% to 4% coming out to the manager for that. And then there's a construction fee. I don't see how much that is, but in any event, that's going to apply. Doesn't really say, so I guess that's to be determined. In any event, heavy, heavy fees. And then the co-investment opportunity, the manager may provide any person with the opportunity to co-invest with the fund in a particular investment on such terms as the manager may determine in its sole discretion, which may include terms that are more favorable terms than offered to the investors. Totally not allowed in my book. Okay, I hear the music. We're at the end. Sorry to run on there. Have any questions, want to hear more about this deal, just shoot me a text to 713-581-0195, and we will look forward to joining you again next week, same time, same station, and we'll pray and hope that Mr. Dan DuBose can join us once again. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.